I want to read this morning as a text from the Psalms, from Psalm 51 and verse 6. It's good to see. I just want to say good morning to each one of you. Glad you're here this morning on a Victoria long weekend. You're never sure who's going to be here, who's going to be out of town, who's going to be away. But you're here, and we're glad you're here, so thanks for coming. Marcel and I spent the week in Toronto, and we had a wonderful time. It was a good conference, and Dave Coop and help me with it, Mr. Wells, David Wells. These were some of the speakers, and it was very good. It was a very good time, and we're glad to be able to. I know I speak on behalf of Marcel. Thank you for allowing us to go. We were really, really glad for that, so thank you. So Psalm 51, verse 6. I've called this self-deception and how to avoid it. Self-deception and how to avoid it. Here it is. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being. Truth in the inward being. I first heard Dr. Larry Crabb say this, or read this, and I've never forgotten it. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being. Truth means a lot to the Lord. It's everything. And he delights in it. When the truth is being told, and when truth keeps on going and revealing, it's a powerful thing. I can remember there was a couple that I was working with years ago. It was here, but it was years and years and years ago. And I hadn't seen them for a while, and I found out that they got divorced, and it was sad to hear that. But I said, what was the final breakdown? Why is it that you couldn't kind of go the distance? Was there something that we could have done differently? Okay, of course, there probably was. They said, no, it would never have worked because he didn't ever love the truth. He never loved the truth. She said, I love the truth. I want the truth to be in my life, in my heart. He said he didn't love the truth. He'd lie easily, lie often, make up lies. He said he would tell lies he didn't need to tell. He didn't know when he has lied and when he hadn't lied. Couldn't keep track of it. See, when you tell the truth, you never have to remember what you said. Never. You just speak the truth. And God will honor that in so many ways. So he desires truth in the inward part. And I hope that you and I, and all of us together here, are people who love the truth. That it means everything to us, that we are men and women of integrity. That you could vouch for us as a congregation and say, you know, I say about this, these people, but I know this. They would not have done that. That's not true. Why? Because I know them. I know they love the truth. Now, here's the question. Here's the clincher. Do I? Do you? Do you love the truth? So much so, he said, I just want the truth to be known in this situation or that situation. And to fill your life with truth. How powerful is that? The word for truth is noose. Fill your noose with biblical truths. That we put the word of God in our hearts, and we let it flow out of us. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 14, Paul writes and he says, put on the belt of truth, put on the belt of truth. You get up every day. You determine that you'd be honest. Just absolutely set early morning whenever you get up. You just determine, well, today's another day, and I put on the belt of truth. And so there's no lies, as far as I know, as far as you know, there are no lies. We get out of bed, there's no lies, no falsehood, no half-truths, no little squiggly, no, as far as you know, no falsehood. So much so that people said, you know, in olden days, or in former days at any rate, it used to be that a man's word was his bond. If he said, let's just settle that right now. Is that a deal? Yes, that's a deal. Okay, let's shake on it. And that's all that mattered. It didn't matter anything else would happen. They shook on it, saying that we will not lie to each other. Wow. But I think of all forms of deception, of all, because there are many ways to deceive. With all forms of deception, self-deception is the most deadly. It's one thing for you to deceive me. It's another thing when I deceive myself with the lies, half-truths. It's most deadly. I think it's altogether possible to practice fraud upon our own souls and not even know that you have done that, to practice fraud upon our very souls, and thus go deceived to judgment, that you leave this world life full of lies and half-truths, heading for judgment. I think of Galatians chapter 6 and verse 3. If a man think himself to be something, and most of us have that struggle, if a man think of himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Wow. Do I think of myself to be something? I think we all have that struggle. Don't you? I think it's just built into the human heart. And when you think you're something when you're nothing, deceive yourself. I may think I'm this or this or this. God knows what we are. But that's the word of the Lord, Galatians chapter 6, verse 3. I think that the further we push into the sanctuary, the greater becomes the danger of self-deception. As we advance into the sanctuary of God, where our life with Him, we are growing in Him and moving forward in Him, and you're getting revelations of Him and truths about the Lord and things that you've learned and the presence of God and the gifts of the Spirit and the wonderful, beautiful things that come with the Lord. And as you press into that, I think the more you press into the sanctuary, the greater becomes this danger of self-deception. The more that I traffic in truth, the danger is that at any point that I might deceive myself in the midst of all the trappings. And here's the truth. Being sincere doesn't protect you. Think about that. Being sincere doesn't protect you. Because there are many, 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 many sincere people who are on the wrong track. I'll tell you some things that I think that do protect you in a moment. But it doesn't protect you. Yeah, see, I was sincere. Yes, but it doesn't mean that you won't make a mistake. So unless we are wise and watchful, I think even prayer can become a source of great deception. I've been in meetings where the only way to describe it is I just felt like, shouting, snakes knee deep. It just seemed to be something wrong with the prayers of that group I'm thinking of. It just seemed like, I don't know, just something weird about that, strange about that. And I think that somehow, some way, somebody became full of deception. But they didn't know that they did, or at least they didn't let it on. And there was lots of prayer, wonderful prayers going up, but it had a kind of a feeling of artificiality. And I thought, I think when you're moving in truth, it's practical. It's not weird and strange. And that's just my take on it. But if you're good at prayer, there can be all kinds of deception, even in the midst of prayer meetings and Bible studies and affairs and. People even have affairs while they're leading revivals. How's that possible? But it's quite possible. The prophets of the Old Testament denounced Israel for trying to hide their iniquities behind their prayers. He said, you offer up prayers, but you hide behind them. And Jesus flatly rejected the prayers of hypocrites. He says, you pray much to be seen of men, but inside it's snakes and vile things that are crowded into your life. And I'm not exempt from that. You're not exempt from that, but it starts with an awareness. To escape self-deception, the praying person, whether it be a man or a woman, the praying person must come out clean and honest. Clean hands. Pure heart. That what else could be said? Well, she was this and this, but she was an amazing person. He was an amazing person. Those type of expressions. Because you come out of the presence of the Lord, not with people where people feel there's something wrong with you or odd or weird, but they sense some reality, some purity, and said, I know I could trust that person. I know that what you see is what you get. Now, that should be true. It may not be true, but it should be true, isn't it? That what people see is what people get. You don't get something else. You get what you thought you saw. And it won't be that you were a great Bible teacher, or you were a great song leader, or you had a great voice, or you were this, or you were that. The question would be, what are you in your heart that touches other lives? As we bring our hands that are clean, our hearts that are pure, I tell you, it's worth $1 zillion, $1 billion if somebody says there's somebody with a clean heart. There's somebody with integrity, absolute integrity. Absolute integrity that we will not compromise. We won't buy into things that we're not sure of, but that our hearts would be right. The one quality that God required a man to have before he could save him, well, let me say that again. The one quality God required a man to have before he would save him was honesty. Honesty. However dishonest the man may have been before, he must put away his duplicity if he's to be accepted before the Lord. And I wrote this little statement, double dealing is utterly, utterly offensive to God. I believe that. That's very, very true. See, that's the one thing. You have to come clean in order to come to Christ. I think that's a prerequisite. I'm going to put away all duplicity that I can come to a Savior. If I'm not willing to turn aside from my deceptions, then what kind of salvation is that? But to be able to say, Lord, here I am. I'm coming to you. I am a sinner. And the Lord says, because you are in tune with that and in touch with that, enter in and receive eternal life because of the honesty of your heart, even though you were lost at that point. The insincere man has no claim on mercy. For such a man, the cross of Christ provides no remedy. Christ can and Christ will save a man who has been dishonest, but he cannot save him while he is dishonest. And so absolute candor is indispensable to salvation. That's why you can't just come forward and bounce down, bounce up, and go out the door. Say, there's something happening in your heart, and people can sense that the Holy Spirit is convicting somebody. And what do they say? I must make things right with God. Whatever else I do, I must make things right with God. I can't just be light and frivolous about it. This is the King's business. And if I'm coming, I must be willing to be honest. If I'm still defending myself, what kind of salvation is that? It's a salvation that calls us to a deep repentance and a willingness to come clean. Right? To come clean. That you're no longer going to hide behind this or do this. You say, here I am without one plea, but thy blood was shed for me. I'm not going to try and pretend I'm this or keep my dignity. Well, I might want to get saved, but I want to look good too. No, when you get saved, you may not look good at all. And certainly you won't look good when we take you in the water tank. And that's why maybe some don't want to get, because it kind of, the gig's up. Here you are jumping into a puddle of water, people holding you down, you're squirming, your legs are kicking. And you say, well, that's wonderful. An honest person coming forward saying, I'm a sinner and I'm taking a public stand. So, some questions would be certainly in order, I think. How do we remain free from self-deception? How can I keep on track that if I'm honest today and a person of integrity, and you're a person of integrity, how do we maintain that we don't end up the side of the road, out of luck and out of gas, just not, you know, you're completely finished as far as what you look and how your life is. How do we deal with that? Well, I know there are some things, I'll touch on a few things here actually, but here's a statement. Mean what you say, and never say what you do not mean, either to God or to man. Mean what you say. Never say what you do not mean, either to God, or if you do, to make that right. Think candid thoughts. And just to think of along that line, that my thoughts are pure, your thoughts are pure. And to act forthrightly. That's a great gift, isn't it? That somehow you're not claiming to be perfect, but that your heart is right. Act forthrightly. A couple of months ago, Jerry Nygren, he would be totally embarrassed if he was here. We saw him at the conference. He was a missionary to Mexico, a lovely, lovely family. And we get this envelope, this letter from Jerry, who's in Mexico. And the letter said, Dear Owen, I need to make this right. You took my brother's wedding up there at the up in the valley where the flowers are. Minton Gardens there, something like that. And he said, I never gave you your honorarium. And he said, I know my brother didn't give you an honorarium, and I feel really bad. So enclosed is a check, and I'm so sorry about that it's taken this long. And I don't even, first of all, I don't know who it is. The other reason, it's Jerry Nygren. You know when this wedding was? 1988. 1988. It had bothered him. It had bothered him that he didn't. I don't even know if he did or not. I don't think it would have mattered. Anyway, I just thought, and of course we contacted him, and I saw him at the conference. I said, you know, you are the fellowship's most honest man in the entire house. I said, that was 1988. I checked my records. Yeah, I know. I said, I just felt I need to make that. Boy, everyone I told that story to said, we knew that before you told us that. That's how he is. He thought that he had withheld something that needed to be dealt with. He said, boy, may your tribe increase. That's incredible. It's now my hallmark now in my mind. Whenever I'm going to be dishonest, I'm going to say, remember Jerry Nygren. He wouldn't have done this. So, I think a guileless mind is a great treasure. A guileless mind is a great treasure. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, Paul writes and he says, speak the word in love. And I think there's always a dilemma here. Sometimes we will speak the truth, but we'll leave out love, and sometimes we will speak love and leave out truth. But this one thing I do know, that if you are going to be willing to speak the truth, you unfortunately, but it's true, you have to be prepared to lose the relationship. Because I've talked to people over the years, and I felt I needed to say something to bring some honesty to that situation. And when I said, this is what I want to tell you, they got angry, and they've never been back. They've never been back to Valley Church. Why? Well, because I told them the truth. That's why. If I wouldn't have told the truth, wouldn't have mattered. They would have been fine with that. But somehow, they were offended, and I say, never seen again. See, so, but nevertheless, now, what we're not trying to ask for is, it was for your own good, I'm just telling you the truth. No, that's the wrong tone. When we correct someone, we have to come realizing that we are one inch away from being knee-deep in trouble. And if you don't think that, you are on shaky ground. It's just that easy to get off track. But being willing to lose the relationship. That's why Nathanael, he said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? I don't even know all that means, but he said, no good thing can come out of Nazareth. Maybe it's no good thing can come out of wherever you come from. But Jesus said, behold, in whom there is no deceit. An actual person that doesn't is not lying. In whom there is no deceit. John chapter 1, verse 37. There just isn't. And I guess Jerry Nygren is one of those people in whom there is no guile. And he wasn't faking it. He wasn't putting it on. That's how he is. And I know in my own life, there are hundreds of people that I know over the years. And I am honored to connect with them because they are people of integrity. I would never, when Brother Pritchard was alive, those of you that knew him, would you ever say, I think he's got this woman on the side and got this little green Miata going down the California coast. And what? What? No. No. See, these guys were straight shooters. Straight shooters. You knew that G.S. McLean and Frank Cossack and Lauren Pritchard and all the others and Les Pritchard, there's scores and scores and scores and scores of these men. They've gone on now. But one thing, if they were anything, they were honest. Absolutely honest. Because they knew God required honesty. And indeed he does. It's one thing to be deceived by another person. And quite another thing to fool yourself. Have you not said, I was so stupid, why did I do that? Mm-hmm, me too. Self-deception, here's the nature of it. Self-deception comes from within the heart. And it involves choosing to believe a lie. Often for self-serving reasons or self-flattering reasons. Where I shouldn't have said that, because when I said that, I was actually deceiving myself to look better, to look better. So, self-deception is a universal condition of mankind. That comes part and parcel with it. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 2, the writer wrote, he says, every man's way is right in his eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. He knows. You see, I might have fooled you, but I didn't fool him. You might have fooled me, right? You've perhaps fooled me, but you don't fool the Lord, because the Lord weighs the heart. And I think it could be said that by nature, we are self-serving. I think by our very nature, self-serving, prone to believing our own propaganda. That I fell in love with myself at an early age and I've been able to maintain the relationship ever since. Thank you very much. prone to wishful thinking. I think that. Your own propaganda. You so saw yourself in an elevated condition that your wishful thinking, you know, you think that's how it actually is when no one else thinks that way. It used to be in the days of hat pins, when the ladies had hat pins. Remember Howard Hendricks saying, thank God for a wife with a hat pin. Why? What does you mean? Is it because only a wife can, when you see yourself as bigger and better than you actually are, there's nothing like a wife, pop. It's over. It's over. A wife with a hat pin. So, this honest acceptance of ourselves as God sees us, because the Lord does weigh the heart. And it's only through the honest confession of our condition where we say, Lord, I ask you to cleanse me for my sins, which are many. That's my only hope, isn't it? I think so. It's only through the honest confession of our condition that we will find healing from the divided self. In other words, the part that I let you see than the part that really is. And so, thereby, we make our way right in the eyes of God. As Jesus said, in John, he said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. I think that can be a motto for all of us, that the truth making us free, because we're captured by it. See, nothing is easier than self-deceit. For what each man wishes, that he also believes to be true. I think I could go to the bank with that. The heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. That's what the writer said. Desperately sick. Who can understand it? Who can fool it? That one minute I'm tracking down well, tracking well with Christ. The next minute I'm in deception and dishonesty and all kinds of crazy stuff in my life. How do people get like that? See, I think there are turning points. I think there are moments when, had I stopped the train when I should have, I would have been okay. But I wanted to look good. You wanted to look good. And thus, we start believing our own press. We start actually thinking that we're pretty good. Instead of falling down and saying, Lord, only by your mercy and grace, I'm not going to make it apart from that if I want to please the Lord. Oh. The heart, I think, can really confuse you. What there has to be is some honest people in our lives. I think that's true. To keep us on the right track. If we say we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves, John said. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. And I know this, that the surest way to be deceived is to consider yourself cleverer than others. Oh, I knew that. Ah, I knew that. Yeah. See, I don't know who these people are, but I know more than them. You know, many, many people think that way. Yeah. Losers, most of them. But I know. As if I had a corner on truth, right? Well, I wonder if there could be a prayer. See, we're asking the question, do I love the truth? And 5 years from now, will I be embracing truth? 5 years from now, will you be embracing truth? Where you know that you could leave your money and your wallet on a table, and your reputation on a table, and you'd come back and it's still there. You could trust that person. You know, there are people in our world, probably millions of them, they would give anything to have relationships that were honest. Where you actually could trust that you wouldn't cheat on that person's wife, and you wouldn't take something from them that wasn't yours. That's real living. And it's powerful and wonderful. Do I have a clean heart, and do I have clean hands? Is there truth in the inward parts? So God would say, with whom I am well pleased. With whom I'm well pleased. Wow. You come to the end of the journey to say, there was a beautiful person. So lovely, so genuine. Perfect? No. Never claimed to be perfect. But honest. Honest with themselves. They've got the skunk on the table. Being real. See, that's one of the things that I have felt over the years. I mean, over 40 years. Is that sometimes there's always a feeling that a plasticky, something that's a little plastic. Seems that we're not real, really real. It's platitudes and cliches. And you wonder, what is it about Christians that have that? I think it's unique to them. Just kind of plastic. And because when you come in touch with somebody who's tracking well, honestly, just keeping on track, flinging themselves on the Lord for honesty, I think when that happens, that plastic thing is gone. It just disappears because nobody else could stand it. I wrote a prayer out, and we'll close with this. I wrote a prayer out. I'm not sure where I got it, but it's pretty simple. Here it is. Lord, show me every place in my life where I have been deceived by the devil. It's got a few more words to it here. But Lord, show me every place in my life where I have been deceived by the devil or in the process of being deceived. And his lies. And show me every place where I have deceived myself, where I didn't need the devil's help. I was doing quite well myself, thank you very much. Deceived myself. What a great prayer. If we prayed that pretty well every morning, Lord, just reveal to me the lies of Satan in my life. And Lord, show me. See, there's something about the Lord, isn't it? Just revealing a giant spotlight on us. Where we're saying, Lord, this is uncomfortable, but I don't want to be shouting snakes knee deep. Not at all. So show me where I've been deceived and show me where I've deceived myself. That's real living. And when it happens, when I realize where I've deceived myself, over-exaggerating how wonderful I am, instead of falling before the Lord and saying, Lord, created me a clean heart. I know this, that it's a thin line we walk on here, because it's so easy to compromise, so easy to be dishonest. There's lots of opportunities to be dishonest. But if we pray every day, say, Lord, it just takes a couple of moments, but it's just keeping everything clean. There's no accumulation. This is how it is today. Tomorrow, I'll ask the Lord to purify my heart. The next day, I'll ask Him to purify my heart again. And so the rest of your life, you were just conscious that because there was the ability to be off track, you were now just closing some doors. Making sure that the devil hasn't been deceiving you. And not, it's funny, in odd things. People get involved in things, and they don't even realize that they're how deceived they are. And they get into weird groups and weird things, and they often wonder, how did they get... You know what I'm thankful for? For 40 years, well, even longer than, I guess, if I can't consider time I was first in the ministry. But anyway, it was a long time. I am so grateful that I'm not down at the airport wearing orange clothing and chanting. Because I would have been just the right person for there. I'd be completely whacked off in the ditch, thinking, oh, this seems like friendly people. God in his mercy has kept me surrounded by godly people. And I know you can, you're not, some of you are nodding. It's just by the grace of God. You could have been so far off and so deep in sin and deception. Think of the people. Think of the people just not far from us. They're stumbling their way through looking for truth. I think they probably are looking for something. And here, you are focused on the cross and the love of Jesus and all the good things that come with that. Are you not blessed? Am I not blessed? That, oh man, I could have missed that by so badly. It would have been disastrous. I would have married the wrong woman. I would have done everything wrong. I would not have got it right. But by God's mercy, I got the best. But I know that Val is a person of integrity. I don't think I've ever heard her tell a lie. If she did, she didn't realize it was. That's something? Except for the drinking. No, sorry. Joke, just a joke. Just a joke. I was thinking of the Irish, I don't know. But apart from that, she's never lied. I just want to make sure you didn't see her as Mother Teresa or something. So, here it is. You're alive in the 21st century. As we advance in it, now it's May. We've got a lot of living to do. We've got lots of stuff to do. But on our journey, we have an opportunity to have integrity. And I so pray that if I'm sitting, laying here in a casket someday, that they would say, that you would say, or somebody would say, some stranger would say, he loved the truth. Let's bow. Stand with me, please. Just ask the Lord to flash his light, his flashlight, over your heart and over your life. There may be some areas where you were a little too close to the edge. Could it be some areas where you weren't really quite, it was a little shoddy. And I repent of that too. I've been times when I've been a bit shoddy. But Lord, I just ask you to show me where all the places were. Or I'm not real. I'm kind of plastic. You know, just as I pause here, just keep your heart in prayer. I am so grateful for you that we're journeying together and truth matters to us. What a gift. I know that truth matters to you because I know you. And that spirit of Jerry kind of rests on you too. Because I know you would never, ever seek to deceive me. And I trust I could say the same. So Lord, I just ask you would stretch forth your hand. And I pray in the months and years ahead, such an explosion of reality that people come because they found some real people. And we give ourselves to you and we thank you. What a great God you are. What a lovely Lord you are. Full of truth. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I think we won't ask for questions today. I think this is kind of leaving on a note of just having our hearts search. But please come for coffee if you can. So thank you.